making a profit. If we are, then, you know, you cut those costs back. And that's what we did. We are one of the lowest costs in the area in Anderson for those reasons. And if there's inefficiencies at the county level, I absolutely agree that we should cut those back and make sure that the customer, you, that are coming in for those plans are paying exactly what this cost is going to be for the life of the project, so that we make sure that we got the upkeep for the next 30 years that you're going to be there. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Roberts, you have 2 minutes.
So a little personal story, and one of the things that I think need to be corrected are it does need to have a customer service atmosphere. With two of my own projects, I had to call 6 times for a permit, and the permit specialist doesn't take phone calls. So that's definitely something that needs to change. There was another project. I had a 10-by-12 shed that they put in. Something on the house. I couldn't sell the house until it was taken care of. So we need to get out of the business of trying to force people into compliance by using their own private property against them. We need to get into the business of allowing individuals to do what they want on their own property. We do need to lower fees. We need to attract businesses. And when you call for a price on something, let's say a pole barn, which is another personal experience, and for the permits for this, they will say, oh, well, it's going to be about this much. Well, as a businessman, no, that doesn't work for me. I need to know the exact cost because you're bidding this job. So they need to get more customer service oriented, and they need to work for the people, not against us.
Thank you. And Mr. Kellstrom, your turn, 2 minutes.
Okay. One of the things I want to do at the county is I want to put a reporting mechanism, a survey type of thing at the bottom of every single receipt at every county counter in the entire county. So, and the resource department will probably be one of them that we will get a few negative comments on. I hear nothing but negative stories coming back. Just today I had a customer that told me this horror story of a shed and permits, and had a lady Saturday with the same thing. So what I want to do with this thing, with every county department, is at the bottom of your receipt, a little survey, just like you get at Taco Bell, Target, Walmart, every business out there. How do we do today? How can we improve? How would you rate us? Certain departments out there, like I've been going to the Register of Voters office, the county clerk's office quite a bit. Everybody in there treats me like a customer, treats me with respect. They're friendly, they're helpful, they're fantastic. Had to go to records department, get a birth certificate for me, and then later on one for my boy. Same thing. Those people were fantastic, knowledgeable, helpful. I want the culture to change, so I want every county department to be like those ones that I've just mentioned that I've recently visited. When that person walks through the door, number one, that's a customer. Number two, that's probably a tax-paying citizen, and you are tax-funded. So that's your quasi-boss. That's a customer. Let's treat them accordingly. Now, I want a copy of this report or this survey to go to every board of supervisors, the department head, and the CEO of the county. If, you know, we're going to get some great comments, like I would have been happy to go after the records department and say, hey, these ladies were fantastic. Keep up the good work. Whatever you're doing, you're hiring the right people. You're training them correctly. They're knowledgeable. Keep up the good work. You're doing great. Now, these horror stories after horror story after horror story that I hear of people putting through the meat grinder at building department and code enforcement, those there, if you're getting nothing but complaints from a department, that department head needs to be called in on the floor, change your culture, retrain your employees, do something, or we will replace you, plain and simple.
Thank you. So, Mr. LeBoux, you have 1 minute additional if you'd like it.
Okay, I'll tell you how I do it with an airplane. I was an inspector, so I signed an airplane off as an annual, and it was good for a year. I'd go to jail for manslaughter if I did anything wrong. So basically what I'd do is I'd take an inspection of Shasta County. I'd take a look at the books. I'd take a look at how each operation is running, okay? I'd look at the mandatory AD notes, which are things that in the past have caused airplanes to crash and stuff. So that's what I would do. I would do a thorough investigation, make a list of all the things that need correcting, look for corruption, look for cracks, and I use my nose, I use my ears, I use a hammer, I use touch. There's all sorts of things that you inspect an airplane with, magnifluxing, Zyglo. And we can use all these techniques in a sense of auditing the county and finding out. Now, I've worked for the county. I retired 20 years ago from road department. So I was chief shop steward for SEA. I know how they treat the employees.
Thank you. Mr. Browning, 1 minute.
Thank you. Is it on?
Perfect. It's on.
We need to, first of all, understand that did you know we only have one code enforcement for all of Shasta County? That amazes me. And so the one thing we're doing, which I hear stories about now, is we go out to your property and we violate you for everything else except for the item that we're working on. And that has to stop. It's what we stopped in Anderson. Because what happens is when you say no enough, we just build it anyway. And so if we have the code enforcement, just go out there and take care of the item that they're there to take care of, what they're there for the inspection, and go away. That will make a lot of other. We need two more code enforcement officers, and I'll tell you why. We need one just for marijuana eradication, for all the illegal grows. One assigned to the deputy, one assigned to code enforcement on the houses, and then the third one assigned to all these people that are living on other people's property along the streets, and get their vans off the road and make sure that we're taking care of those that are living illegally on other people's property.
Thank you. Mr. Roberts, 1 minute.
I have to agree with Mr. Kellstrom on his idea. I like that idea, and I think it's a good one, and I would seek to implement that as well. We need them to work for us. You shouldn't have to tear out a pool to get solar, so... That's where I stand on that.
Thank you. And then finally, Mr. Kellstrom, 1 minute.
Yeah, we were talking about the code enforcement, and actually came up in Shingletown the other night, and I was saying, again, they find your shed that's illegal, or they find your deck that you didn't have a permit for, or whatever, and it's frustrating. There's a man in Anderson that was ran out off the corner of Placer and Buena Ventura by code enforcement because he was selling lawn art. He's a retired veteran. He's selling lawn art. He now sells it in Williams behind the 76 station because Shasta County ran him out of here because that was a major crime. And what was frustrating to me is, like, yeah, the guy probably drove past two homeless camps and an illegal marijuana grow to get this old veteran to stop selling lawn art on the side of the road. You know, and I said the same thing in Shingletown the other night. Your drone goes over the top of the house, you know, flies over two marijuana gardens and a homeless camp, and, wants to ding you and send code enforcement out because you have a 10-foot by 12-foot or 12-foot by 14-foot garden shed. And, you know, this stuff's just got to stop. There's more important things to do than harass law-abiding citizens.
Thank you. The next question, we begin with Mr. Browning. Homelessness and mental illness continues to plague the state and the county of Shasta. As a supervisor, how would you address these problems, and what is the role of the county of Shasta in mitigating them? 2 minutes.
Thank you. Well, I think Anderson's done a good job with their homeless. We instituted a no camping ordinance, which has cleaned out a lot of that. We also instituted a no panhandling ordinance, which also extremely helped with that situation as well. But we do have to focus on our mental health. And I think that's much broader and much deeper than any of us could ever imagine. But what I do know is that when we did Project Room Key, for example, it was ineffective. We're now rebuilding those hotels, those over and over and over again. That was not a project that worked for us. I think we need to evaluate Health and Human Services third party and understanding, are they really giving us the best bang for our buck? And if they're not, let's move on to something that does. We've got to be broader looking than just hear and go, well, that's what somebody else did. Let's just use that. I think it's much bigger than that. We've got to look at what's worked in other places, what's not worked in other places, understand what those costs are going to be, and go over, get those grants that are going to be effective to us. And when they're not doing what they're supposed to do, then we hold them to the fire. They work for us as the third party. You as the citizens of the third party. And so we got to understand what's working and not working and make sure that we're implementing the right projects for the right reason.
Thank you. Mr. Roberts, same question, 2 minutes.
We need to do program audits, and we need to figure out which programs are working and which ones are not. And then we need to get rid of the ones that are not and put the funding into the ones that are. And I think it's a mixture of things. There's a lot of mental illness, but there's just a lot of crime in general. There's people who refuse to get better. You can't do anything for them, but make it more comfortable to go be homeless somewhere else. Make it highly uncomfortable to be homeless in Shasta County. It's that simple.
Thank you. Mr. Kellstrom, 2 minutes.
Okay, so the homeless issue, I think the first thing we need to do is differentiate between homeless and transient and criminal transients. I think it's two totally separate groups. There is some homeless people out there, and for them, I would do everything I could to possibly help them, give them a hand up, get them back into society, get them back into a home, get them back into a job, whatever. And I think there's plenty of programs now that enable those people that want help to get that help. The other criminal transients, you can throw all the money you want at them. You can send them through every program you want. You can give them every hand up. And if they don't want help, they're not going to take help, and you're not going to change them. So you're kind of wasting your money on them. Now, the mental health aspect of it, we definitely have a mental health aspect. I've actually talked to a pastor that works with a lot of the homeless people and transients population, so to speak. And you have some mental health issues, and you have some drug-induced or substance-induced mental health issues. He surprisingly, it gets back to jail space, same thing. If you can get these people off the street and get them into a cell, get them cleaned up, get them a 30-day jail sentence, 15-day jail sentence, whatever it is, get it out of their system, and then they may be at a point where they want help. You have to want help in order to accept the help. But this revolving door, we turn back on the street, and especially if they have some mental issues with addictions or alcohol, as soon as they turn back out, they're right back to where they started from. So we need to get them off the street. We need to find some jail beds, get them off the street, and then offer them services at that point when they have a clear and clean mind.
Thank you. Mr. LeBoux, your turn.
Okay, I would like to thank Dave Gassman. He was a psychiatrist here years ago. I ran into him in church one day, and I said, Dave, I says, we got to get mental health back in Shasta County. He says, where did it go? And I said, well, Dave, our supervisors have done away with the annex, Crystal Creek, the mental health. We're losing here, okay? We need to get back on track here. So what I would do with mental health right now, if you're a 5150 or whatever it is, they send you to Sacramento. Okay, it was mothers having problems feeding their kids, this, that, and things are kind of getting out of hand. And why send her to Sacramento away from her family? Why don't we treat them here? And like I say, we can treat the other patients from other counties. We can be the hub, okay? Now about homelessness, you know, I worked with a guy, we did engine overhauls. His name was Mario. And he got his A&P license out of Tracy's prison, okay? So we can rehab these guys. And we can train them. We could train these guys how to build these houses. They're so easy to build. You put two corners up, you draw a string, straight and level and plumb, and away you go. It's so simple. And we can now supply the contractors out here to build these new modern homes. I like to think out of the box. I like to think that things are possible. I don't like to reinvent the wheel. I like to look at what other people have done and what our county was like. And I believe it's possible that if we all put together, the more minds you put together, the more problems you solve. And so I think it's all in the committees. I think we, you can text us, email us your suggestions, and we'll get on board.
Thank you. So everyone had a chance to give their two-minute responses there. Now we move into one-minute additional comments, starting with Mr. Browning.
Sure. We definitely have a mental health issue, but I think we have a bigger issue, and it's been touched on a little bit up here, and that's a drug issue. And in order to combat the drug issue, we've got to understand, where it's coming from. And I understand from the sheriff just recently that there's actually been a fentanyl task force that's come out from the state and federal government. So that will give some support to our sheriff to get some of that stuff off the street. But we've got to have the detention center, which has those things in it. Because right now what happens is when me, Baron Browning, say I have a problem and I want drug rehabilitation help, they send me to a third party well, I figured out the system, so in 2 days I just walk out the door because they can't hold me. But if you have the jail that can hold them, and you have all those services there, then when they act up, then the sheriff can just send them back to the cell. And so then you keep those people in there that are really wanting help. And yes, they need to get dried out to understand they need help. I get that. But if you have a big enough jail to hold them, to let them allowed to get dried out to understand that they actually are in the right mind to get help, then they can go to those facilities that are on campus and they're held accountable. And that's what we want, held accountable. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Roberts, 1 minute.
Forgive me for not differentiating between homeless and transients. My mistake. Yes, we do need to work on these things in terms of with law enforcement. But I think that the wagon wheel idea was great because it provided a solution. It's not great in the aspect that it's going to take 7 years to build and it's going to be X amount of dollars. But we need to start there somewhere where we can agree on and then see what we can do for possibly cheaper or most certainly a lot quicker.
Thank you. Yeah, sure. All right, Mr. Kellstrom, 1 minute.
A lot of the mental health dollars, it depends on where they come from and the funds that you can spend, whether they're in a locked facility or they're free to go. So, you know, the wagon wheel of justice, I hope that we have addressed that, because, you know, again, there's certain programs and certain monies that you cannot offer the mental health services to somebody that's incarcerated or behind bars. They have to be released into the program, and then a different money comes into play at that point. So, again, the wagon wheel of justice hopefully will, you know, mitigate all those. But as far as having them locked up, and offer them mental health services, there's only certain dollars and certain programs that you can offer when they're not free to go. So that's about it.
Thank you. And finally, Mr. LeBoux, 1 additional minute.
Okay. Shasta County was offered, I think BART down in San Francisco does drug rehab. They come up here. It doesn't cost the county a thing. They charge Medi-Cal and Medicare with the expense. They were willing to come up here and set up. They do everything. They do heroin, they do meth, they do everything, okay? We were offered that, okay? And they took a mental health group out of Chico, and they weren't qualified to do much of anything other than, I think, maybe heroin, okay? So and I think the thing that went down was maybe there was some corruption there in a sense of where the committee chose the Chico firm other than BART, okay? So the money's there. The people are willing to come up here and help us out. The other thing about homelessness and stuff like that, you know, we need to put up – we need to get busy and start off small, maybe give them – you know, take some property that we own, put toilets in, put a kitchen in. Okay.
Thank you. Let me just make sure I've got this right. Okay. Yes. All right. This next question will begin with Mr. Roberts. We're on question 6 now. And this again comes from the Chamber member survey recently. Inflation and the rising cost of goods was identified as having an adverse effect on more than 93% of those who responded to the recent chamber membership survey. And 2/3 of respondents say attracting and retaining employees is also an issue for them. Businesses and government agencies both struggle with employee recruitment in Shasta County. How will you lead to attract talented professionals to fill county positions? And how would you keep current top performers? How would you increase the morale of the staff at the county? You have 2 minutes.
That's a tough one. First of all, everybody needs to feel valued. So we do need to make our employees feel valued. And we need to let people know that when they do come to Shasta County, they're going to want to move their families here. So they need to know that it's safe. They need to know that they can take their kids to the park and not have to worry about getting mugged or getting stabbed or anything like that. So the first thing would be is to get our crime under control and making people know that when they do move to Shasta County, it's going to be safe for their family and that they're going to go to good schools and
that they will work for a government that's a local government that's good to them, that's going to pay them well if they are performing. And we do need to do performance evaluations.
Thank you. It's a long question, I know, but I am happy to repeat it should any of you like me to do so. Okay, Mr. Kellstrom, you've got 2 minutes.
Okay, so back in the day, it used to be that you took a private sector job because the money was better there, but you took a public sector job because you know it was more stable. You might have had better retirement, better benefits. Nowadays, it seems like the government sector jobs have better pay and better benefits and are more stable. So, as far as keeping good people, maybe not only do the survey to see how the departments are doing, maybe we need to have, I mean, I know every department has a human resources people can go to. Maybe people don't feel comfortable there. Maybe we should do a whistleblower type of a survey also, or a website that they can go to and, you know, let their problems be heard and vented and get the word to the supervisors. So, again, the morale that I've seen in the departments that I've been to seems to be extremely well, seems to be very good. So, and the employees seem to be very happy. And I haven't heard of a whole lot of turnover with county jobs. Now, the department heads are a different story. And I know that we keep hearing things, you know, well, we have to compare ourselves to Santa Barbara or San Diego in order to get the best people. You know, I personally think we have the best place to live. I mean, I would gladly live here for half of what I could make in L.A. or San Francisco or, you know, some other horrible place. And quite frankly, I do. Our you know, regular median wage is lower than San Francisco and Los Angeles and San Diego. And there's a reason for that. It's because we have a beautiful place to live. We have a great place to live. It's a great county to live in. So as far as us having to pay as much as the rest of the counties, I think just offering where we live should be an incentive enough to get the qualified people here. And I think we have a lot of qualified people right here in this county, too, if we were able to train them.
Thank you. Mr. LeBoux, you have 2 minutes.
Okay, well, I retired from Shasta County. I know what the employees, their dissatisfactions and their gripes and stuff. I used to tell them, you know, I said, you need to buy a house. You know, that's your best investment. So I was a realtor for 10 years. And your best investment is a house, okay? It goes up in value. Well, now people were moving up here from the Bay Area and stuff. They were retiring. They were buying 5 acres with horses and stuff like this for, I think at the time, was maybe $300,000 or $400,000. And they had twice the house. They took the extra money. They sold for millions in their house in the Bay Area and put it in the bank. And that's the way things went. So then price houses have gone up. Now with the fires and stuff, we've lost 45,000 homes. If we don't start building, okay, we're never going to catch up. Okay, we need to get contractors going. We need to get these guys that we need to train contractors. We need to get them building these houses. You cannot afford fire insurance out in the outlying areas. You've just basically got the city here, the valley, where there's no trees. If you're going to go out and build in the trees, you can't afford fire insurance. You can't get a loan. So, you know, we need new technologies. We can do this, okay? But we need to jumpstart this thing, get it going. And that's through the planning department, through, getting factories here, building these blocks, getting good paying jobs. We can do this, okay? It's feasible, but we need to get going on it. So you're not going to bring the price of houses down. Now you got solar, now you got sprinklers, now, you know, I mean, it's the price keeps going up and up. So, so I think apartments are the thing to go. We're going to build these apartments, they're going to be energy efficient, and, get these young kids coming out of high school so they can get a job, afford to live. I can't bring the food. I'd like to put a pipeline in, but, you know, that's not up to me. We don't have any gas or oil here. So, thank you.
Thank you. And then finally, Barron, Mr. Browning, I should say, you have 2 minutes as well. Do you need the question repeated?
No, sir.
Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I think that morale from our employees has been proven in Anderson starts with the leaders. And the leaders are actually our supervisors, which is what we're running for. And so the leadership starts with, you know, us treating each other like human beings. That's where it starts. At least for me. And that's what we've done in Anderson.
We all get along very well. We don't always agree, and that's okay. But what happens is we get to throw ideas on the wall as we're talking through solutions. And even though I don't agree with 80% of what somebody says, when I'm not listening because I'm angry, I'm missing the 20% that could help the solution. And so you listen to everything that everybody says, whether they're coming up there to talk for their 3 minutes or whether they're another supervisor. And you listen to their fullest and you snag all those ideas and you come out with the great things similar to what we've done in Anderson time and time again, and make it a great county that it should be. The way you get business here is you, as we've done in Anderson, is bring an economic development forward as a county. And having those businesses that are in our county be on that, in that program. And they will then go out and seek others, as we've done in Anderson, and you start capturing businesses that are going to come in. So U.S. Offsites is one of the eight. We just had a company come to us just over a week ago, another manufacturer that's going to line up right behind U.S. Offsites with another 200 jobs. The jobs are available, but we've got to create the atmosphere in the county for them to want to come here. And that's business friendly. Our attitude as supervisors will get those things done. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Roberts, you have 1 minute for additional comment.
As far as the supervisors being the leaders, yeah, that's true, but they should take their instruction from the people, and when they refuse to do that, it delegitimizes their view as a leader. And there's always going to be two sides. That's the sad reality. There's always going to be two sides. We need to figure out where we can come together and start on things that we do agree with again. And that's it.
Thank you. Mr. Kellstrom, 1 minute.
Okay. I really don't have a whole lot extra to add to the whole thing. So, like I said, I think we have the best place to live. I was a shop steward for the Teamsters. So as far as the workers in our county go, the low-level workers, as long as their morale is good, I think we have people lined up for some of those jobs. The middle management and upper management, those may be a little harder to replace. Some of them, we have to take a hard look at them and see how many of those middle managers we need. How many layers of protection do we need between the guy filling in potholes and, the department head? Same thing with, the nurse administering shots. How many levels of, insulation do we need between her and the department head? So I think this is a great county. And I mean, I want to live here. I love living here. I plan on staying here. And, I would take a job at half the price just to live where I live now.
Thank you. Mr. LeBou, you have an additional minute if you'd like.
Oh, boy. Like I said, I've been here 50 years. I've enjoyed it. I've raised a family. I had four kids. We got good colleges. We got good schools. We got, I do have some problems with some of the schools. I volunteered for a welding class teach a welding class at Anderson High School, and they were welding galvanized. It's one of the most poisonous things you can weld. Okay, it's lead and zinc and everything else. And I asked the teacher. I said, "Why are you welding this?" I says, "You're polluting the kids." He says, "Well, your fingernails are not green." He says, "You're not a welder." Okay, I've been welding for 50 years. Okay, so I brought to the school board. They threw out my notes that I had on how poisonous it was and stuff. So we have problems here, and we need to deal with them, okay? They can literally poison your kids in school and get away with it. And it's really, really sad. So,
thank you. Mr. Browning, one additional minute? Okay. Then we'll move to the next question. Question number 7, beginning with Mr. Kellstrom. It's raining right now, but it hasn't been. So this is related to drought and wildfire. The continued drought has reached a critical stage with the threat of depleted wells, restricted water deliveries, and draconian cutbacks. Related to the drought is the continued threat of wildfires. As a supervisor, how would you address these crises, and what's the role of Shasta County in addressing these threats? You have 2 minutes.
So the wildfire is a little bit easier to address than the drought. I mean, the drought is the drought. As far as the drought goes, I know the Delta Smelt has a pretty good lawyer, and they seem to sue the Department of Reclamation to take care of their needs. So I'm thinking maybe our farmers and ranchers and our citizens need to find that same lawyer that's representing the smelt, and maybe we need to sue on behalf of the ranchers and farmers and the people of Shasta County rather than a smelt. So as far as the fires go, I would like to actually write a county ordinance as to, and I don't have the numbers, I'd have to talk to a forester and I'd have to talk to the resource manager, but I would like to create a county ordinance that limits the metric tons per acre on our forest floors right now to state and federal lands. I don't want to do the private landowner. I don't want code enforcement coming to their house and telling, you know, old Mrs. Widow Johnson that she needs to remove the pine tree or they're going to lean her house. So I don't want to do it to private landowners, but state and federal lands within our county borders, I want a management plan. I want their management plan to correspond with our ordinance. And I'm told that they will tweak their plan to try to stay within our ordinance. So I want to limit the amount of metric tons on our forest floors. Now, I used to hunt up above Shasta Lake, so the area between Shasta Lake, Dunsmuir, and over to McLeod. If you look on a map, it's a giant checkerboard. It's a huge, giant checkerboard. Every other square mile is Sierra Pacific private or it's Shasta Trinity National Forest. And our trick was you can only camp on the forest land. And we spent weeks and weeks. Just find one little section of forest land that you could actually pull the truck off the side of the road and put a tent up. You couldn't camp on Sierra Pacific land, so we, you know, didn't want to break the law, but their land was thin. They had log landings. They had turnouts. They had wide, you know, great spots on the road. The trees were thinned. You could have easily camped there. National Forest was a mess. We need to fix that.
Thank you. Mr. LeBou, 2 minutes.
Hey, well, I fought the Yellowstone fire, and, you know, they said, well, let it burn because it was lightning. And we walked out probably 3 or 4 miles just on logs that were down. I mean, it was terrible. The other thing is you got to deal with the fuel. We need better forest management. We need fire crews. We had, I think, sugar pine up here shutting down. We got the prison in Susanville shutting down. They're releasing 79,000 prisoners on top of us. Governor Newsom thought, you know, well, each prisoner is worth $1 million, so he would fund the state by letting them all go on us. So we need fire crews. I believe with the marijuana grows, we could probably have 35 fire crews up at Crystal Creek in different areas, supported by the county, not by the state. We can use them for clearing the brush and stuff like this and get some fire breaks going. We need just have brain freeze, believe it or not. Anyhow, that's how we can do it. We need to manage the forest better. The other thing was water. We just spent how many billions of dollars on a bullet train? Did we have a bullet train? Why didn't they take those billions of dollars and make a desalination plant down in L.A. where they got the water, okay? Israel's doing it to the desert. They're selling water to the Arabs, okay? For every 2 gallons of salt water, you end up with 1 gallon of fresh water, and you take the other gallon of salty water. You can't put it back in the ocean because it sinks and it disturbs the ecosystem. So you pump it over to the Salton Sea, right? The Salton Sea is going empty, right? And now you make table salt with it, and you mine it for the Epsom salt, stuff like this, for fertilizers, okay?
Thank you. Mr. Browning, 2 minutes.
Sure, thank you. I've worked for the last almost 4 years in the summers through my company in the fire world. Been on numerous fires and watched millions and millions of acres over the last 4 years go up in smoke. I don't know that there's a solution that we can give the state that they're actually going to do, but really what we have to do is work on our home front. And that's through the Fire Safe Councils. If you look at the Shingletown Fire Safe Council, and now we formed a Shasta County Fire Safe Council, they have gotten over $1 million in Shingletown to take care of their brush on the side of theirs. And they've done an absolutely fantastic
fantastic job with it. But they need our support as supervisors to get more of that $2 billion funding that just came out, to fund that even more so that we can do that countywide, so that we're taking care of ours. Because we're not going to take care of the state, I guarantee you that. But we've got to take care of our home front. And you do that through grants and supporting the fire safe councils that are being propped up now, including the one in Shingletown. And we modeled it after that one, where they're just doing an amazing job of clearing out their lands, which are our county lands, of all that brush and making it more fire safe than that is. When it comes to the water, we have two water districts that are in real trouble. We have Bella Vista, Happy Valley. They're in trouble. So those people are only getting 55 gallons. So who do we pick? Who gets to take a shower today? Who gets to take a shower tomorrow? If you have a family of five, who do we get to pick? Well, we just got this ARPA money, right? We take $1 million of that ARPA money to each one of them. The county registers the funds. We go and buy the water that's available out there through ACID or anyone else, and we make sure that we get that water to those two districts that are in trouble, so those citizens. And that's what that money's for. It's for our citizens, and that's the way it should be used. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Roberts, 2 minutes.
So I'm glad that the Shingletown Fire Safe Council was mentioned, because they're doing the job that the federal government and the state government has supposed to have been doing this whole time. And they're doing it because they got together because they're worried that they're going to get burned out of town. They need equipment, they need supplies, and they've asked for funding. And I think that it would be in the best interest of the county to issue them that funding at this point, because they are using it the way they say that they are using it, and they're actually doing a really good job up there. Long term, I like the ordinance ideas. I just think that we need to get really, really creative at what we do, and I think we can do that.
Thank you. Now to the 1 minute additional comments. Mr. Kellstrom, your option.
Well, I just want to point out there's more than two water districts that are in trouble. There's Jones Valley, there's Bella Vista, there's Happy Valley, and near and dear to my heart, and District 5 is Anderson Cottonwood Irrigation District, is getting zero water in their canal this year. That has never happened. They have 1914 water rights, and they have never been denied water, and this year they're being denied water. So all the ranches and all the farms in Anderson and Cottonwood are going to be dry and dead this year. All those, you know, cows and everything else, there is no water in ACID. So we have it's quite a water crisis. I mean, it's definitely more than just a couple districts. It's pretty much our entire county is in a water crisis.
Thank you. Mr. LeBou, you have 1 minute.
What was the question?
It is related to the continued drought has reached critical stage with the threat of depleted wells, restricted water deliveries, and draconian cutbacks. Related to the drought is the continued threat of wildfire. As a supervisor, how would you address these crises, and what's the role of Shasta County in addressing these threats?
I play for rain. I don't know. I don't know how to solve it, you know what I mean? If you put liens on these people growing marijuana plants up in the mountains, okay, and making your wells go dry, we can have a slush fund to dig your wells deeper. You know, that's about the only way you're going to get water, okay? So we got to deal with these grows. And we got to deal with, and there's not much you can do about the water. I can't make it. It's going to be tough. I don't know, and we got to be fair with everybody. So that's what we need to do: get a committee together and get some ideas.
Thank you, Mr. Browning. Additional minute, you'll pass, okay? And Mr. Roberts, pass, okay? So we found our way to the final opportunity, and really, this is generalized as closing remarks. So beginning with Mr. LeBou, you have an opportunity for the next 2 minutes to kind of bring it home, particularly through the lens of the local business community.
Okay, for the local business community, like I say, we need to be manufacturing in here, get jobs in here. We need to tap into the building. That's the thing we do here in Shasta County, okay? We need to start building, okay? The other thing is supplies. I mean, it's hard for builders to get supplies. I went down to get electrical box, and they were out. So that's going to be another problem, is having the materials to build with and stuff. So we need to figure that out. And what was the other part of the question?
It's just whatever you'd like to close with related to the business community.
I'm sorry, I'm tired
in particular.
Here. For the business, I think we need to center on what we can do here. The building, there's plenty of grocery stores, but, you know, I don't know what the food's going to be running out. But I believe in committees. I believe that we need to tap all the minds that we can get to solve problems. And it's called R&D. Most manufacturers today, you take a look at Apple and Tesla and stuff like that, they got wonderful R&D, research and development, and they're doing phenomenal things, and I know Shasta County can do the same if we just tap into every one of you out there, right, and get some suggestions, and we can turn this thing around. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Browning, 2 minutes for closing remarks.
Thank you. And I want to thank the Chamber for holding this tonight. And most of all, for all of you that are here or watching online, you are the ones that want to be an informed voter. And so I so appreciate that either you came out or you're watching online to understand who your next supervisor should be. And I just want to start with, I actually have a proven track record. Anderson is a proven track record of my abilities for problem solving and solutions. And that starts with public safety on down to economic growth and development, to planning and development through building houses, zoning, on down to what our families really need and want in our community. And we've done all of those things, and we'll continue to do those things in Shasta County because that's what's important to you. Our citizens have come to us and said, here's our things that we need want done. And you've named them. You want a jail. You want public safety. You want fire protection. You want resource management fixed. Those are things that I have done before, and I have a proven track record of doing them. So, again, voteforbaron.com is my website. Go on. You can learn all about me. And thank you once again for coming tonight.
Thank you. Mr. Roberts, 2 minutes.
Thank you guys all for coming. I know how hard it is to get to these things. I'm a father. I've got kids' sports and school and things like that. You can learn more about me on my website, which is robertsfor5.com, robertsfor5.com. You can send me a message. I have the Facebook pages up, all that stuff. And no, I have experience as a father. I'm a businessman here in Shasta County. I know a lot of people, and I just really care, and I see something great for Shasta County, and I think that that's going to come through leadership that listens to the people. Leaders push the envelope. Followers don't. They just comply.
Thank you. And finally, Mr. Kellstrom. Minutes.
Once again, thank everybody for being here, and thank you, Mr. Mangus, for hosting this. If you can call me Mr., I'll call you Mr. And thanks, Carl, for putting this on the radio, and thanks for everybody watching online. So, from a business standpoint, again, I'm a businessman. I started managing business when I was 19 years old. I know how to run a business. I would like to run the county. I am not a politician, nor do I want to be a career politician. I think that's part of our problem, how we got to where we are. One of the things I want to do when I get on the Board of Supervisors is I want to vote for term limits. I want to install term limits on the Board of Supervisors. I think this should be your civic duty to go and run for the board, get on the board, do some of your programs, do some of the things you want to do. If you can't do that in 4 years or 8 years, you probably weren't the man for the job, and step aside and let the next person come in. I think it should be a civic duty that you're doing, not a 20-year career path or a 24-year career path. I want to do away with that. I just want to give the county back to the people. We the people are who I want to represent, and we the people are, you know, who supports me. So that's enough.
Thank you. Well, so with that, ladies and gentlemen, please join me in thanking our candidates tonight, Frank LeBoux, Baron Browning, Colt Roberts, and Chris Kellstrom. Thank you for showing the courage to step forward and run. Can't be easy to make that decision. Maybe it is for some of you, and we're grateful that you have stepped forward to do that. I'd like to also thank KCNR 96.5 and 1460 for simulcasting this evening. Thank you to Carl and Linda Bott and Pat Karch. We'd like to thank the members of the local media here with us this evening as well in amplifying this message, as well as the Earth Films team. They will be helping us to put this recorded video out to a larger audience in a week and a half or so, I think. I'm getting a thumbs up. I think, yes, I am. Okay, thank you. It's going to be great sound and video, they promised me. And also I want to thank all of our current elected officials who are with us in the room as well. Thank you for your service to our community and those of you in other races who have chosen to throw your hats in the ring as well. So to all of you here tonight, thanks for your engagement in our community, in the business community, and this democratic process. So do me a favor and get out the vote for June 7th and have a great night.
Okay. And that was concluded the forum we had put on by the Reading Chamber of Commerce, about probably close to 100 people here tonight. You heard the candidates talking. You know what? There were no bombs thrown at each other, which was pleasant. And they talked about the issues. And I can tell you what, I felt the sincerity of every one of the candidates. This is what they think. This is what they believe, that they want to serve our county. Each had different ideas. They all agreed on one thing, and that was that our county deserves the very best. Our county deserves the...
Test. And remember, if you have any additional questions you'd like to talk to the candidates about, they'll make themselves available. I know they're up here to my left at this time. And again, thank you for being with us.
And they're, like I said, every one of them is bringing something to the table. Everything from construction experience to all business experience. Baron Browning has has experience with Anderson in the town down there. But as they all said, this is a civic duty. Chris Kellstrom said that we as citizens should volunteer to serve. All right, and I may be paraphrasing that a little bit, but I thoroughly agree with that also. And I'm getting messages. I've muted all the mics but mine, I believe, on this. And I'm going to turn down, let me see, blah, 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 blah. Yep, all the mics are down. The bottom line on it is, though, is you have a chance to hear the candidates. Now, for the other candidates that are running, the district attorney, county clerk, sheriff, the Chamber of Commerce is going to bring in the candidates and talk to them and then, provide a video for you. They're not going to have a forum like they had here where you can listen to them. And on KCNR, though, every one of the candidates will be on at least one more time and in some cases two more times so we can ask them the questions and you can ask them the questions during our show. John Green's going to be on next week. We have, in fact, Francie LaRue, who's running against Congressman LaMalfa, will be on. And I'm bringing in Jake Mangus. Good morning, or good again. Yeah, I'll be okay.
Hey, it's been a long one, right?
Hey, Jared, can you hear Jake okay?
Sure can.
Okay. What did you think about tonight?
I was really grateful, by the way, that, Frank LeBoux, we didn't know if he was going to be here. Yeah. Alex Madrigal as well. Alex ended up not making it. He said he might not make it because of a prior engagement. Don't know what it was, and he didn't want to show up in the middle of it. So I respect that decision, and it was nice to have 4 out of 5 with us anyway.
Yeah, Frank got here just at the beginning.
Yeah, so. I I heard varied responses from this group. You know, I guess certainly a diplomatic answer would be you could tell that all of them really want this. They're passionate about wanting to serve their county. I admittedly learned a lot about them tonight that I didn't know. I didn't know that Frank LeBoux worked for the county and retired out of the roads department. That was mentioned.
And Chris Kellstrom talked about being
the Teamsters?
Something, the union rep.
Yes.
There. I had no idea about
that. So having that experience and, you know, being in business, that he and Baron Browning kind of went back and forth a little bit. If we were looking at the...
there were no bombs.
No haymakers, maybe a couple jabs.
A couple jabs, yeah. But not like last week when the gloves came off early and stayed off.
Yep.
They talked about things about our county, things they'd like to see. And you know what? There were good ideas from everyone up there.
I liked hearing some specific examples when it came to drought and wildfire.
Yeah.
Hearing Kellstrom talking about working with the state and the federal government and having them... adopt the ordinance that we set was kind of his thought.
I didn't know we could do that.
I didn't know either. Probably we would have to do the old fact checking on that, but I applaud the effort. And then Baron Browning, by similar token, started talking himself about the fire safe councils.
Sure.
And I actually got a call this week from a woman who's involved in one of them, and I've been getting calls about fire safe councils probably since the car fire, at least, and saying this is the way we've got to go forward. We've got them in Siskiyou County. We've got them in other counties. We need them in Shasta. And for some reason, they hadn't proliferated here like they have in other places, but they are now.
We need to do that.
Yep.
You know, the other thing, too, when we're talking about water, one of the things that Frank LeRoux said is, and he's absolutely right, all the marijuana plantations we have out here is taking literally hundreds of millions of gallons of water. We need to cut them off at the hips.
I agree with you.
At the ankles. And if we can do that, just think of all the water, groundwater, that would not be taken or water that's being illegally pumped out of the system.
Yeah, I remember years ago I was working with folks in Trinity County and in the Douglas City area. There are people that rely on water and some of those freshwater streams for their drinking water, for the water they use to cook with and shower.
Sure.
And the creeks were going dry. And this wasn't in a catastrophic drought scenario. It was in a dry spell. But what they said was it was upstream marijuana growth.
They're diverting it to marijuana.
And they were so terrified of going and approaching these folks because of the high caliber weapons that the folks possessed up there and oftentimes brought in from out of the country with a job to do. And it's just a wreck. So I'm glad to know that was brought up tonight.
The other thing, too, I was driving back from Lake Almador Monday. A lot of logging going on up there from the burnt trees. I mean, a lot of logging going on there. And now here's the other thing. Trees take an enormous amount of water. If we thin the trees out, that could help too. But the fact that we're not going to have any water in the acid this year is horrible.
It is.
And the Planning Commission just okayed another 166 houses in Bella Vista, and they don't have water now.
I was confused about that. And I the only thing I can say is that there's got to be more to the story. I mean, I know that it's a really long process.
No, we've just got about another minute, so we got time.
Gotcha.
You know what? Thank you, Jake, for this, and I'll tell you why. I, as you know, I'm no secret about it. I never thought the Chamber of Commerce should take sides.
We've had this discussion.
Yeah. And we've done it openly. I admire the fact that you've had this forum. Now, tell everybody you're going to also interview everybody else. Is that correct?
Yeah, for three additional races before we get to city council in the late summer and any runoffs that we might want to deal with in the supervisorial races, we're going to interview those that will do so for district attorney, for sheriff, and for the superintendent of schools. We're going to conduct those interviews one-on-one over the next week. and we're going to drip those out in independent email blasts.
Are they going to be videoed?
They're going to be video.
Take a look at it?
You'll see video interviews with an iPhone camera and a nice microphone.
Okay.
I'm going to ask probably three questions to each of them, try to keep them about the same time. And if somebody isn't able to make it or they just don't want to do the interview for whatever reason, we'll still put out a photo of them, information on the candidate.